You're not only hearing from me, which, you know, that's a big treat for a lot of you guys, but you have the special privilege today to hear also from Peter Stokes and, for the first time in the morning, Mary Thomas, soon to be Mary Thornton, which is really exciting. So make sure you give her a really big hand. So where I'm talking about today, obstacles to rebooting for this year, because there are obstacles we face when it comes to rebooting, when it comes to refreshing, when it comes to, you know, starting a new season and doing something new in our life. There is always going to be obstacles. And so each of the three of us have a different obstacle that we're going to talk about and share and hopefully encourage you with and challenge you with also to remove that from your life if that's your obstacle, so that you can accomplish everything that God has got planned for you. Because God has got so much for City Life Church this year. And each one of us make up City Life Church. So God's going to do amazing things in not only in our lives individually, but us collectively as a church. So I want to encourage you to remove every obstacle, remove every hindrance, remove everything that's in the way that's stopping you or maybe hindering you from accomplishing everything that God wants to do in your life. That's every one of you. Say to the person next to you, that includes you. That includes you. Well, I'm going to start off with mine, and I would like to share about the past. I think the past is a big hindrance or a big obstacle to when it comes to rebooting for the future. The past, and as I was thinking about the word reboot, I was thinking of another R word, like there's lots of them, refresh, and you know. The one I thought of was recalibrate. And to recalibrate means to make fine adjustments or to fine tune. And you know, last year, or for the last few years, I've been praying for particular guys at work. I've been praying for their salvation. And it was towards the end of last year, I just got a little disappointed and I got a little disheartened because I've been praying for them for so long and nothing happened. At least nothing that I could see physically. I'm believing God's doing something supernatural in their lives. But I just couldn't see it and I just got disheartened. And I felt like it just bruised and bumped and knocked around my faith a bit. And when it comes to rebooting, we've got to reboot, we've got to, recalibrate our faith. We've got to recalibrate, readjust our expectation. Because last year, mine got bumped around a bit. I'm like, God, man, is God actually going to do this? I need to recalibrate that. I need to readjust my faith, readjust my language, readjust my passion and my expectation that God's going to do something amazing. Because what happens in the past is our faith gets knocked around a bit, and it gets bumped and bruised a bit. Not only our faith, but our passion for God. We normally start out really passionate, and then life just comes along with all its unpredictable things that happen, and it knocks us around a bit. But we're in a time, January 2012, the reboot time, to reconfigure, to reboot, to recalibrate those things in our lives, to make put them in line with this year, and to say, hey, my faith got knocked around a bit last year. It got moved around a bit, but I'm going to reposition it where it needs to be. So I am full of faith. I'm full of expectation, believing exactly what the Word of God says for me. I want to share with you just a quick snippet from the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. A lot of you should know the story of Joseph. Just quickly, he became second to Pharaoh in charge of Egypt. He was the governor of Egypt, and what happened, his brothers hated him, and his brothers sold him into slavery to these people on the way to Egypt. And God had different plans and different ideas, and God actually raised this guy, Joseph, up to become governor of Egypt. Now, in this particular, where I'm about to read, the brothers find out that, you know, Joseph is governor, and Joseph is about to send his brothers back because they're actually in a time of famine, and there's not much food around, and his family, which is back in Canaan, are suffering and starving because there's not much food, and they've come to Egypt to get food. And so I just want to read a little snippet, it's just one scripture from Genesis 45, verse 24. Joseph said, then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, don't quarrel on the way. He sent his brothers away and said, don't quarrel on the way. His brothers were off to a fresh start. His brothers were off to a new life. His brothers were off to provision and blessing from God, a new start. Joseph was going to provide for them and said, you guys, your whole family, come back into Egypt. I'm going to provide you with a piece of land and provide you provide for you for the next 5 years of this famine. They were on a brand new start. It was like a new year, 2012. This was like the reboot time. And Joseph is saying to them as they step into their future, don't quarrel on the way. Now, what would they quarrel about? They would have quarreled and argued about the mistakes they had made in the past, about the things that they had done to Joseph when they'd beat him up and sold him into slavery. And Joseph said, forget about the past. This is a new beginning. I'm doing something new. God's doing something new. He's going to bless you. This is a new season of your life. Don't worry about the past. Don't even mention the past. And I want to encourage you, as we enter 2012, don't quarrel on the way. Don't argue and bring up the past as we enter this year. When I was a little boy, I remember year five or six, I remember going to a picnic with my friend's family. And there was this big river, and on the other side of the river, there was a swing where we could swing out into the water. So we swam across, and it came to my turn to have a go of the swing. And so I climbed up the muddy bank with all the tree roots that you would use to get up the top. And I climbed up, got on the rope, ran off the bank and out over the water, and got to the full extent of the rope and the swing. So the furthest point and the highest point, that's where you should let go. If you want to have a good time, that's where you should let go. But I was a bit scared. It must have been the first time I'd done this before. And so I held on. And so, of course, the swing started to come back. And as I looked back, I could see the muddy bank with all these hard tree roots sticking out, getting closer and closer. And, of course, I didn't let go until the very last moment and came crashing into the bank and really hurt myself. Not very good. I want to just share a few thoughts from that experience that I think will help you guys. If the past is an obstacle for you. By the way, the next time I did let go at the very end. It was good. You know, I want you to imagine that rope, the swing itself, being your past. If you're holding on to your past, it's only going to let you go as far as that rope extends. And if you're holding on to what happened last year or the rest of all of your life, it's not going to let you go as far as God has planned for you to go. And the truth is, that's not far enough for this year, for 2012. If you want to accomplish everything God has got planned for your life, you cannot hold on to the past because it will only let you go as long as that rope goes. And that's not far enough. God has got things for you, and it's not far enough if you're holding on. Another thought is that if you're holding on to the rope, you're going to get hurt, just like I got hurt. If you're holding on to your past, you're going to get hurt. You know, they say that time heals all wounds. I want to say forgiveness heals it quicker. I don't think we are meant to live wounded. I don't think we're meant to live in pain. And if we're going to hold on to our past, then we're only going to get hurt. We're only going to hurt ourselves every time we're reminded of that thing that person said to us, or we're reminded of that disappointment or that failure that we had a few years ago, or maybe it was last year. It's just going to hurt us. So we're going to hurt other people. Don't hold on to the past because it's only going to hurt in the end. And the third thing, which I think is really cool, that there is a sweet spot at the end of the swing. That's the area where you're meant to let go of the rope, not like I did the first time. And I want to say that January 2012 is the sweet spot to let go. If you want to go as far as possible, if you want to be propelled as far as possible and let God take you as far as possible into the future and accomplish everything that He's got planned for you, then you need to let go in the sweet spot. See, at the end of the swing, you've built up all this momentum to get to that point, and then that's when you let go, and it flings you as much momentum as it's built up. And I want to tell you that we're in January and the swing is at the edge. The swing is at the very edge of it, the length of its rope. It's at the very edge. This is the time to let go. This is the sweet spot if you want to go into all that God's got for you. If you want God to launch you into the future, into 2012, this is the sweet spot to let go of the past. This is the time to let go of the past. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, God says, I will remember their sins and their lawless acts no more. That's pretty cool. If God forgets all the things we've done wrong and all the mistakes we've made, why do we keep bringing them back up? Why do we keep reminding ourselves? God will never remind you of the past. The devil will do that. and you'll probably do that, but he'll just prompt you about the future. And he'll prompt you about what he wants to do in your life and the great things that are ahead in 2012 for City Life Church and for you. And I want to say, God's forgotten about it, so should you. And I want to finish with the words of Paul from Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 13, where he says, "One thing I know, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If the past is an obstacle to you, now is the sweet spot to let go of it, because God wants to use you incredibly this year. He wants to do amazing things in your life, every single one of you, and now is the time to let go, to forget about it, just like God has, to deal with it if you need to deal with it, forgive people, speak to people, whatever that means, deal with it, forget about it, and move on into all that God's got for you." Why don't you give a big hand and big welcome to Peter Stokes.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. That was good, Ado. I don't know why they ask other people to speak when Adrian speaks. I'm trying this. That looks good. It's all good. How are we this morning? I think Rebirth, that was great, man. Far out. And it's incredible just to follow Adrian. And he's on a fast. And he's just had a baby. And he's talking about rebooting. It's never a good thing for the second speaker. But the idea of rebooting is actually one that's really quite close to the things that both myself and Lisa have been through over the past year, just coming back from Hong Kong. And so I'm just going to get super personal with you guys. Is that all right? I'll probably talk about some things that maybe I've only ever shared in a life group and with close friends and obviously with Lisa. Rebooting can be tough, absolutely tough. You know, about a year ago, for those that don't know, I came back with my wife, Lisa, and my little boy, Bailey. And we came back from pastoring a church for 2 years, really, really solidly planning a new, a new vision, a new life into a church in Hong Kong. And left great leaders behind, left people that really just loved and really invested into. And we came back to Australia And I came back into what I can only describe as a visionless type of state, where for 2 years solid, 7 days a week, just really praying and believing God for a vision over a church and for a people group and just selling myself out. You know, Lisa can attest, I did everything I could and gave everything I absolutely had in my heart and in my life and just to give and coming back to Australia and suddenly there's nothing. And I didn't know what to do. To be honest, I completely and utterly visionless. And I kind of just did like what you normally do. I went to church. Even getting to church was a struggle. I was so far out of it. And I got to life group. I was hoping, wow, there's got to be something more. I was at the worst part of my faith that I've ever been. I've been a Christian for a long time now, probably close to 15, 16 years. And it's just the worst moment of my life, not having a vision, not knowing where to go. Do you guys ever feel that way? Where you've got this great thing, you've got this big thing, God's given it to you, He's spoken it to your heart, you're out there, you're doing it, and suddenly it stops, and you're just caught in like, whoa, what do I do now? Anybody out there? I must be the only one. No, it's not true, because God speaks vision, God gives life to the plans that He puts in your heart. He always does. He's always speaking. Well, I'll try not to cry. I'll try not to man cry. He's always speaking to your life. He's always putting things into your heart. And I got my greatest desire, which was to pastor a church, and to have that stop was just a big slap in the face. And it took about eight months later, after getting back, I've been meeting with Pastor Ron regularly, and Ron's an amazing leader, an amazing guy, and he came to me and said, "You've got to come to Pan Asia with me. You've got to come to Thailand." And I went, okay. And I said, "Well, okay, I'll talk to my wife." And Lisa said, "Yes, you have to go. Go. I want you to go for a week." And fair enough. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And I was thinking to myself, well, at least I'll be in a place where I get to see what everybody's doing around the world, and Pan Asia conferences, there's lots of mission things, lots of social justice type of things. And I thought, well, hopefully, inside of me, hopefully there's something that sticks out that I'll just go with. And I want to be a part of that. And I can just take my family and we can just leave. And it was a week conference, and got to Thailand, blew it, just hot as. And myself and Ryan had some time to spend together, and we grabbed some scooters, which is awesome. And we just drove all the way around Phuket Island, and we're just seeing all the sights, seeing all these people, and especially the young people, just seeing them everywhere on there. It's an amazing sight. Who's ever been to Thailand? Just all the scooters everywhere. It's just insane. All these young people just out riding. And we got to this food market one night, and it was late at night, and probably 1,000 or more young people there just in this food market and listening to some music. And it's just this incredible, incredible sight. Well, 3 days, about maybe 2 days later after that, I was in this conference. And again, I'm just saying, God, I don't feel anything here. There's no vision. There's no passion. I don't feel anything. And then suddenly, I just began to pray. I just began to pray for Thailand. I began to pray for the young people. Oh, whoa. Yep. I try not to cry, especially in front of men, you know what I mean? I just began to pray for Thailand and for the young people, and not out of anything like I want to go there and plant a church, just because I just really felt this sense of I've got to pray. And then suddenly, this, out of nowhere, I just start to shake. It was just, okay, we're going back 80s, all right? 80s so style church, bam. I just began to shake, and suddenly I just said, "You got to pray harder. You got to pray harder." I'm just praying and not speaking it out, but you know where you're really praying inside your spirit, and you're really just getting with God. You got to pray harder for these people. I'm praying, and holding back tears and just shaking. And then at the end of this worship session, I had to sit down and I go, "What was that? What was that?" And so I thought, well, maybe I've got a vision for these people. But then something came over me and said, no, it's not about you getting a vision for these people. Well, some of it is, you know, Thailand is a nation in absolute need of Jesus to come through and do something incredible. It just says, it's not about that. So you, inside of everything, inside of what I'd lost in terms of coming back and not knowing what to do, I'd lost vision. I'd lost my way. And God just said, I've given you your vision back. I said, what do you mean? I don't know if I want to plant a church. He goes, no, it's not about planting a church. I've just given you your first love back. I've just given you your vision, my plan for you, my absolute plan for you. And I remember when I first got saved, God put something in my heart, and it was, you're going to go to the nations. You're going to go there. And it's like, okay, well, I went to Hong Kong. That was part of that plan. And when I came back, I thought, well, maybe that was it for me. But God said, no, that's not it. You're going to go to the nations. And you may be sitting here today, and you may have lost some vision. Maybe you lost sight along the way. Maybe God gave you a vision for business. I don't know. There's a couple of people I've talked to in this place that have a real vision for business. And you've been talking about it, and you're talking about it, and talking about it. But somewhere along the line, you've lost the way. And I want to say, God never changes his plan and purpose for your life. God never changes his vision for your life. And it's time to get reignited. It's time to get back into God. Look, I was really struggling with the scriptures, and my wife provided one, which is always good. She's pretty knowledgeable. Okay. If you want a scripture, Proverbs 3. I'm losing all my stuff here. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. This is a scripture. If you're like me and you need a reboot, you need a big kick up the backside. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. When we trust in God, when we lean on him, when we give him the time, when we position ourselves. I had to position myself in Thailand for God to speak to me. You know what I mean? I had to go leave this country, actually buy a ticket, leave this country, put myself in another country for God to be able to speak to me. You have to position yourself in a place where God can speak to you. You know, sometimes I feel like it was stupid at that point in time to go, okay, well, let's go to Hong Kong. It didn't make any sense. Let's go to Thailand. It doesn't make any sense to me to take a week. I didn't really understand it. But God had worked it in such a way that I had to get there. And I had to be in that moment and in that place. I had to be in a position where God could talk. Position yourself in a place where God can talk. For some people, they get that every day. They've got a couple of hours spare or half an hour, an hour, where they position themselves in the plan of God. And just it's just them and him, and that's good. And you probably should make that something that you do. But sometimes God wants to take you out, maybe out of the city, or he wants to take you out to a place that you've never been before so that you can just sit there and go, wow, thanks God. I'm refreshed. I've got passion again. Thank you so much. And you can just meet with him, and he can talk straight to you, and he will speak straight to your heart. And he will tell you, hey, that vision, that plan, that purpose that I put in your heart, it's not dead yet. Now, you may think that you're the oldest person in this room, and some people are the oldest person in this room. That's all right. But you know what? The plan God put on your heart 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's not dead yet. The vision that God placed in there, it's not dead yet. You know, if you're young here, you're not sure where you're going to go, you don't actually know what God's speaking to you about, then I'd say position yourself in a place where God can talk. Get rid of the TV, get rid of the internet, just go to your room, sit there, pray, position yourself, open up your Bible, and well, God will smack you in the face with something. Begin to serve. Just love God. Trust in God. Lean on him. Not with our own understanding. So that he can make our paths straight. Isn't God good? Don't let that vision die. Position yourself where God can speak. Okay, cool. I think Mary is coming up to speak.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good to just like even be a part of everything that everyone's talking about this morning. It's pretty incredible, pretty amazing. A lot of you guys probably haven't heard me speak before, because I haven't spoken Sunday morning before, so it should be good. I'm going to pray quickly because I'm talking about distractions, and we've gone through this morning and I don't want to get distracted. We want to keep our focus and keep moving, so I'm going to pray quickly together. God, we just thank you that you've blessed us to be where we're exactly where we are this morning, to hear your word and to just feel you in our spirit, God. Just pray you'd speak to us and you'd speak through me, Lord. Amen. Okay, so hopefully by now, you've started to completely let go of your past and forget about that. You've made a decision. You're finding your vision. You're finding your focus. What I felt when we're talking about reboot was that it's just so important to not get distracted. Once we start going, once we're moving, once we're ready to serve God again, let's not at all get distracted from what he has for us and from what his plan is for our lives. I've kind of got two parts to this. When I thought about reboot, I thought, when you talk about like on the computer, when you're going to reboot the computer, you turn it off and then you turn it back on again. So maybe for us in our lives, we need to turn off completely and then turn on again and keep moving forward. And so distractions can affect us in both of those areas and in different ways. But so I just want to share about turning off, about really being able to connect with God and seek God and read our Bibles and pray and just really be able to spend time with God, and how much distractions can stop us from doing that, how much they can just pull us away from God and not allow us to do that. Talking about like big things like business and your life and your work, and like for me, going to uni, having a job, all these different things that you start to just fill up, and your family and your friends and the people around us that act as such big distractions that just keep consuming our lives, and we end up just walking along in life, following and just completely pulled along by the world that's around us and not really stopping and taking the time to spend it with God and to really connect with God and be refreshed by God, be rebooted by God, so that we can really connect with him and know what he wants us to do next. In John 15 verse 4, it just says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. No, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." It's just so important to just be still in God, to remain in him in every stage of our lives and in every part of it, and to not let distractions pull us away from really being able to connect with God. I wanted to share with you guys just a story from kind of from my life in the past few years with these kind of big distractions and things. So a couple of years ago, my life was getting a little bit complicated with a few things going on around and that kind of thing. And I just really felt God say to me that I needed to let go of those things. And it was really specific that he wanted me to make sure that I was falling in love with him and not focused on falling in love with anybody else. And for me, that was something really personal a few years ago. And it was just, it was about seeking God first. It was just exactly about what he needed me to do in that time in my life. And I clearly, I've trusted God with that, and it's been so important to do that for me. And sorry, guys, but yeah. So yeah, that was like a really important thing for me to do, was be able to really just let go of the other stuff that was starting to consume me and the things that were starting to distract me from God and his plan and his purpose, and to be able to reboot, to be able to slow down, to be able to let go of other things, and to be able to trust him with where I was going with my life. All right, I was keep going. Start of last year, I started uni, finished high school, and like life was getting more complicated again. You got friends and jobs and classes and all these new people that you're meeting. All that stuff can just get you tied up. And I mean, as you grow up as well, like new jobs, new families, living in new places, so many things can just keep pulling in on your life and keep distracting you and pulling you away from God. And I just think it's so important for us to be able to remain in God. And to reboot, we really need to be able to avoid those distractions. What I was looking at recently, I've been reading through John in my journaling, and it's really stood out to me this week. It's talking about in John 17, verse 15. It says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." It's just so important for us to feel and to know that we're not of this world. We don't need to be consumed by the way that everyone else is living. We don't need to be pulled aside by the things that other people care about so much. God's created us to live in this world, but not to be of this world. And that's just, it's so crucial that we understand that in the way that we live, because God hasn't put us here to let us down or to pull us astray. He's created us to be able to just live for him where we are right here and to just be focused on him. Okay, I'm going to try and keep moving. The other part of what I wanted to talk to you today about, which is really what I feel God's been speaking to me about, is just that we're living for God every day. Every day in our lives, every decision, every choice, every moment that we wake up, every part of today, coming to church, everything we do, we're living for God. Like, we need to make sure that if we're really committed to God and we're really serving him, that we really live for him. And that's really, really, really crucial. And so in Romans 12, verse 2, in this message version, it says, "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." It's just so, I guess, just so much of the time we get caught up in our friends and what people think and the stuff that's around us and our families and our jobs and so much other stuff that we just get pulled away from our vision. We get pulled away from the purpose that God has for us. We get pulled away from being able to have a fresh start, to be able to live the way God wants us to live, to reboot and have a new beginning, and to be able to keep going forward with his plan. I don't know what it is for you, but there are just so many things that pull us away from that. So many little distractions in everyday life that we make that pull us away from God, whether that's like TV or Facebook or your friends or magazines or books or anything, like family issues, so many things that just get in the way. And it's just a choice every day that there are these things that are influencing us and distracting us from making the decision to live for God every day and to renew that every day and to be refreshed in God every day of our lives. I'm going to ignore the illustration that I have from myself because I'll probably cry again, but you can always ask me about it later. I just want to move on. I've got to just hear from Colossians in chapter 3. And it just talks about living the way God has made us, living as those made alive in Christ. And it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We just need to put away our old self. God wants us to reboot this year and to be fresh and have a fresh start. He wants us to take hold of the purpose that he has for us and to run with it with everything that we have. And we can't do that if as soon as we step out the door, we're distracted and we're influenced by the things that God doesn't want in our lives. I don't know what it is for you, but there have definitely been things for me that I still work through about worrying and stress and people's opinions and all sorts of things that you still have to just go to every day and just go to God and say, I don't want those things to be a part of what I do today. I don't want those things to influence my life and my purpose. And I want you guys to really take hold of that and to really, like, let's all just look into ourselves and think, okay, I want to go forward with God. I want to be fresh. I want a new start. I want to be able to just reboot for him. Like, what is it that we need to look at ourselves to change, to get rid of, to just give completely to God and just to throw all of that away? Yeah, it's just, there's a few things just in the Bible. There's been lots of verses I've been reading about. There's just a couple things I'll just say quickly about. Like in Colossians, it talks about how we just need to be strengthened in our faith. We don't need to have to struggle to do this. We don't need to have to strive to have a fresh start and reboot. We just need to commit to God. We just need to strengthen our faith in him. In Isaiah, it talks about we have to hope in the Lord. He will renew our strength. We just need to keep our hope in him. And in Psalm, it just says that God will renew a steadfast spirit in me. He will do the work. He will renew you. He will reboot you. He will refresh you. So let's just commit ourselves to God. Let's keep our focus on him. Let's keep our vision. Let's keep our spirit moving forward. And let's just not let those things influence us anymore and distract us.
Thank you. Come on. That's awesome. Well, that's just really, really awesome. I want to keep talking. I'm just going to pray. Maybe if everyone just stand together and let's just take this time. I think all those guys just shared so well about what it means to let God just refresh you and build you up. And so I want to give that opportunity right now. If you feel like, I don't know, you're far from God, or you're not really where you know that you want to be, or you just really want to let things go from last year, or stop things distracting you, or just get like fresh vision for your life, or whatever it is, maybe something spoke to you, and like I'm sure something spoke to you out of all the things that those guys said this morning. So if you just want to respond to God with that, and you just want to let him do that in you, then I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. And just raise your hand with me, and let's just pray together and just give up whatever it is that you're feeling that God is saying to you, and just, you know, give that to God and ask him to do that. So if you want to do that with me, then just raise up your hand in worship just for a minute, and just let's take this time just to thank you. God, I just thank you that you're here right now. God, thank you that we didn't just hear nice messages, but we heard your voice this morning, God, and that you spoke so clearly. And God, I pray that the things that you've put in our hearts, God, we wouldn't just ignore and walk away from, God, but that you just really cement them in there this morning, God, and really do a work in us this morning, God, as we lift our hands to you, God. I pray that we just lift our hearts to you and just let you really move, God, in a powerful way. And God, give us a fresh start and a new beginning. God, give us a new vision for what you have to do. Help us to just let go of everything in our past and not be distracted, but seek you every single day. And God, I thank you just for who you are and your presence and your love for us. And God, for every person that's here this morning, that you're just moving in so strongly, God. Before we finish as well, I want to give an opportunity. If you don't know God, you want to start a relationship with him, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. And so if that's you, then we're gonna pray together and just pray this prayer from your heart and just repeat after me. But I really want you to think about that, and that it's not about just like a New Year's resolution or something like that, but it's about the Spirit of God being inside of you. It's about being forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that is what it means we can have a fresh start and a new beginning and a relationship with God and eternity in heaven. And so, you know, if you want to pray that with me, but we'll all pray together. But if you want to do that for the first time, maybe, then pray that from your heart and really believe it. Dear God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Pray that you would just come into my life and that I would follow you. Amen. Awesome. If you prayed that and you meant it, and maybe it's the first time or you know, again, then see our hosts, talk to them, talk to the person who brought you. We also have a book with some little just studies on the Bible. And so go with your life group leader, get one of those, do that. These guys are going to play a song to finish. Awesome.